Leprosy is an ugly disease. Your skin just gets eaten up with lesions and boils and bumps. It is at to the point of actual disfigurement, to where you just look like a monster. Your extremities, your hands and feet, fingers and toes get eaten up with infection because what the bacteria does, it kills your nerves, the nerve cells, so you no longer feel pain. So you don't know if you've injured yourself or cut yourself. And so you go around with that thing and bacteria gets in there and it gets infected and it festers. It causes the bones in your joint to shrink so that the joints just become just unusable. And as if they're subject to those infections and subject to injury without you knowing about it, that's why you see so many lepers without fingers. Because they just drop off from infection or from injury. And to top it all off, if that wasn't bad enough, you were cut off from society. You were not allowed in among the Israelites. You were isolated and cast aside. And if anybody even accidentally got close to you, you had to start screaming, "Unclean, unclean," so that they could run away from you because they didn't want anybody else catching this disease. Many people saw lepers as having been cursed by God for some hideous sin, because the three people, Miriam and Gehazi and Uzziah in Scripture that had leprosy, got it as a result of rebellion or sin against God. And so they were seen as wicked people who were suffering the just curse of God upon their life for their disease. And they were rejected, they were despised, they were looked upon as a walking picture of death. And their hearts were probably bleeding with rejection and loneliness, probably hemorrhaging in their soul from the pain of self-loathing and rejection. It was the most pitiful existence one could imagine. And he comes to Jesus, this disfigured, crippled man, oozing inside and out. And he falls on his knees. He collapses on his knees in front of him. And literally begging him, imploring him, the Bible says, begging him, "Lord." And what he says to Jesus is, I think, is one of the most profound scriptures in the entire Bible. This little half a dozen words this leper says is one of the most profound statements of all of Scripture. He says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Let me say that again. Lay hold of this. Remember this. He says to Jesus, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." This guy had no doubt about Jesus' ability to heal him. That was not a question for him. He knew Christ could make him clean. "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. I have no doubt in my mind. I am persuaded and convinced you can do this. This is no trouble for you." What he questioned, what he wrestled with, what he hoped against hope, and maybe even dared not hope, but thought he would try anyway, what he questioned was whether Jesus was willing to make him clean. And that question is and always has been the crucial issue when it comes to divine healing. Not whether God is able to heal somebody, but is God willing? We believe that He can. What we wonder and wrestle with is He willing? A.T. Robertson said, men more easily believe in miraculous power than in miraculous love. Yeah, God can do anything, but does He care enough about John D'Souza that He would look on me and my condition and be willing to change my life? I mean, we know God is powerful. He spoke the universe into existence. And he still holds it together by the word of his power. I mean, he made the seas and the oceans. He filled them with teeming life of every kind from top to bottom. Creatures we haven't even yet discovered fill the seas that God made. God made the land, the mountains, the trees, the fields, the beautiful, glorious flowers and plants and things that just take your breath away to see them. When you stand in some of these mountain ranges and you're surrounded by the majestic creation of God and you just thrill to see what God has done. He stretched the heavens out like a curtain. He numbers the stars and calls them by name. He has placed in the heavens galaxies beyond number, stars beyond number, things that we are just beginning now to discover to our amazement. Works of art, literally painted with galaxies. Some of these nebula, when they're captured by the Hubble telescope, looks like God was just painting on the canvas of outer space just to show forth His glory. It's absolutely breathtaking, the power of God. There's never been any question about whether God is able. The question has always and is always, is He willing? Is He willing? That's the question that every person in this room at some point in our life, maybe many times, wrestles with. God, do you see me? I know what you can do, but Lord, are you willing? Do I have the faith to believe that you actually want to change what is tearing me apart? And when this pathetic, and I say that compassionately, when this pathetic man in this deplorable condition threw himself at Jesus' feet and he made this remarkable statement of faith, and it is a statement of faith. Some would criticize him, but the Bible says Jesus was moved with compassion. I love that, man. God is not some faraway grandfather in the tucked away in the corner of the universe that doesn't know and doesn't care and doesn't understand your problems. God knows your problems more than you even can understand your problems. And to think that we can move the heart of God to compassion is mind-boggling. He puts himself at Jesus' feet and he says, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus is moved with compassion and he does something amazing. He stretches out his hand and he touches him. Do you realize that was probably the first time in years that that man had ever felt the touch of another human being? How nightmarish is that? To go through your existence and not know the simple pleasure of the touch of a human being's hand on your shoulder to say, I love you. I care about you. I enjoy you. I want to be with you. I want to know what you think and I want to know what you feel. And it is my delight to be in your presence because you mean so much to me. To have, to never dare to hope to hear words like that, much less feel that touch of affection. Because you're filthy and you're unclean. And you're not even allowed in society. And Jesus reaches through that barrier and he touches him. And he says those powerful, heart-wrenching words, I am willing, be cleansed. There is not enough treasure on this planet to trade for hearing those words from Jesus Christ to a leper. I am willing, be cleansed. I mean, How do you even dare to hope for something like that? And yet, two simple words, be cleansed. And the next thing you know, this tingling probably covers him from head to toe as the glory of God just rains down on him. And suddenly, his skin is transformed before his very eyes. And he says, I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing, be cleansed. I am willing. Now, if you take this scripture at face value, there's only one conclusion you can draw. Christ is willing. Jesus is willing. He wants to heal. He wants to heal. And if Jesus is willing, then the Father is willing also, because Jesus said, I came to do my Father's works. In fact, He only ever did the works of the Father. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, it is a living illustration of the heart of God. If you want to know what the heart of God really beats like, look at Jesus Christ, because He is the exact image of the Father. He came to reveal the heart of God. And Scripture says that He went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by whom? The devil. He is a living revelation of the heart of God. And no one, everybody say no one. No one who ever came to Christ for healing was denied in Scripture. Is that a fact? I don't care what conclusion you draw. I don't care what application you have or how theologically you want to structure that. But is it a fact that no one who ever came to Jesus for healing was denied? It's a fact. Larry. What about the thorn in his flesh? We're getting there. We're working our way there. But before we get there, let me at least say this. Let me go ahead and just, you know, for conversation's sake. During Jesus' earthly ministry, was anyone ever denied healing from Him? Not at that point. We'll look at that thorn. I'm glad you asked that question. I am thrilled that you asked that. Amen. There's only one conclusion that you can draw if you look at this passage. I am willing, is what Jesus said. Now, John Wimber, who's no longer here, he is the founder of the Vineyard Churches. Hundreds of churches throughout this country and the world. He had one of the most extensive healing ministries of modern times. Awesome guy, humble as the day is long. Just candid and honest and wrestled with these things for years until he finally entered into the fullness of an effective healing ministry. To read his account, there's a book called Power Healing. I don't think it's in print anymore, but there's still lots of copies out there. One of the best books I've ever read in my life on this subject, bar none. Awesome book. Honest, candid, talks about his failures and talks about his victories. It's awesome. John Wimber says the first principle that you must understand to have an effective healing ministry, the first thing you must embrace is that God wants to heal people today. He wants to heal people. How many people have ever wrestled with whether God wants to heal people? I'm going to be honest. Because it raises some really sticky questions. That's kind of like one of them, but it raises some sticky questions. Because if God is able to heal, is God able to heal people? If God is able to heal people and God is willing to heal people, then the elephant in the room, the question arises, why then do some people not get healed? Now let's just, like, you know, let's not dance around this thing. Let's just bring the elephant right on out. You know, there he is. I hope he's out-strained. That's one thing that Scripture says. But that's the question we wrestle with. If God is able and God is willing, why do some people not get healed? In fact, what really boggles my mind is, why is it that some people with little to no faith get healed, and other people who believe very strongly, who are models of faith, who do and say everything right, for some reason, sometimes don't get healed? And people you think, why would God want to heal Bob over there? Give me a break. And he does. And old Lois over here, it's, you know, saint of God, man. I mean, you know, food resurrects to life when they put it on her plate. It's just, you know, God is... And for some reason, she gets something and doesn't get healed. And you know, it doesn't always fit in a nice box, but you wrestle with these questions. If God is able and God is willing, why is it that sometimes people don't get healed? Now, there was a time long before I was in leadership, and I was just, you know, like, you know, on the music ministry. And here in this church many years ago, we had a season where there was a very strong emphasis on healing. And we had various people come in and teachers and different things. And while we did see some measure of success with that, many people who went forward didn't get healed. And part of the problem was that we had this kind of thing where, well, if you came up and you didn't get healed right away, you went back to your seat still in pain or still sick, it was either because you had no faith or you didn't have faith or there was sin in your life. And that was the little box we put it in. And so people would come up and they wouldn't get healed right away, and they'd walk back not only still sick, now they'd feel, you know, discouraged and bitter and angry and self-condemning, and, you know, they'd be worse coming down than they were coming up. And we're not going to do that. Now, does sin have an effect? Absolutely. If you're living a life of open rebellion against God, you know, sin can have its effect, and there's things in James that addresses that issue. And we'll talk about those sometime. If you don't have faith, can that be a factor? Well, it can be a factor. What's amazing to me is sometimes the faith of the sick person has less importance than the faith of the person ministering the prayer to them.